my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My children had a great grandmother on John's side of the family, and we called her Grossy. I don't know, one of the kids made that up. In Grossy's later years, when you asked her what she was doing, she'd say, "Oh, just sitting and watching the trees move." And she always said that with joy, never with boredom. And I never fully understood that at the age of 28, but I really understand it now. It's one of my favorite things to do. And the enjoyment of doing that is even better when you imagine that when a tree moves, that it's praising God. And Thomas Merton wrote, "A tree gives glory to God by being a tree. For in being what God means it to be, it is obeying God. It consents, so to speak, to God's creative love. It's expressing an idea which is in God and which is not distinct from the essence of God, and therefore a tree imitates God by being a tree." So there it is, end quote. That's a tree just being a tree. Branches that lift upwards and sway and dancing for God, praising God in their very being, just being what they were created to be. And for me, the best part of that is that the praise is always taking on new forms, you know, growing into new shapes and sizes with new branches and buds. Trees grow into becoming what God has created them to be. And that's one of the best metaphors that I can think of for our faith. It's a tree's song. Its movement and its growth are always taking new forms. So if trees can do that, what can we do? Can we do the same? Are we consenting to God's creative love? Are we expressing the very essence of God who gives us life, who sustains us through the Holy Spirit, and who lives inside of us in Jesus Christ? Are we allowing our faith and praise of God to take on new forms of expression? Or are we stunting our own growth by trying to fit into the old ways? And that's true of our biblical understanding as well, of our holy scriptures. We grow as a society, we grow culturally through an awareness, a greater consciousness. We no longer subscribe to a lot of the strict laws prescribed in the Bible. So neither is our faith fixed in a few lines of a creed or a confession. Faith, like the Bible, is a living, growing gift from God. And faith is cultivated through our experiences of how God sees us through the worst of times, so that we can experience the best of times once more. And the root system of that faith, just like the redwood trees, and every pastor has used this metaphor, the redwood trees are connected through the root systems. They depend on one another to live in community, but their root system is older than a lot of the trees themselves. And so our expression of those old roots, of our old biblical teachings, our ancient teachings, take on new forms of expression as we grow in faith. Now, the powerful metaphor of trees is used biblically over 50 times in one way or another. In the Bible, it carries imagery of a life force, but also as a life susceptible to fire. And as we know, fire and destruction then regenerates itself into new growth. And so looking to God's creation as a metaphor for our lives moves beyond metaphor if we understand humanity as just one more piece of God's same creation. Our self-consciousness and our ability to reflect is what separates us from the trees. But our susceptibility and exposure to the harsh realities of life remains universally true for all of God's creation. Now the prophet Ezekiel that you heard, he knew the harsh reality. He knew the harsh reality of life in ways that we have never experienced. Ezekiel was writing during a time of great despair in exile. The Babylonians attacked Jerusalem in 598 BCE and deported Judah's leading citizens, Ezekiel being one. And the devastating destruction of Jerusalem to follow, and the temple, the destruction of the temple, is a kind of exile that you and I can only imagine. Imagine with me, for a moment, what it must have been like then, and what it's still like for some in the world today. To be invaded, forcibly removed from your homes, carried into exile in a foreign land, the foundations of your home, the foundations of your religion, and the temple destroyed. The Hebrew people believed that God was dwelling in that temple, in a place called the Holy of Holies, where only the high priests could enter. And now it's just gone, which leaves them with the question, where is God now? And these are people for whom Ezekiel is writing, people who now blame themselves, thinking they must have done something wrong to deserve divine punishment. Despair does that. Despair takes over, and blame and shame and isolation follows, which was what makes Ezekiel's words, speaking for God, all the more important. Words that move beyond hope into promise. And he uses trees to make his point. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree, and I make the dry tree flourish. The high trees for Ezekiel are the oppressors. They're the political rich and powerful of ancient times who take cruel advantage of the weak. They're playing God with people's lives, oblivious to the suffering that they are now responsible for. And they're using human lives as pawns in their pursuit for power, none of which is permissible in God's kingdom. Not then, not now. In God's kingdom, the lion lays down with the lamb, and God is always redefining what power looks like by humbling the powerful and elevating the oppressed, not with violence and destruction, but with a sprig and a twig in Ezekiel's passage, and a seed in Mark's gospel, and a baby boy born of an ordinary girl on Christmas morning. And listen to Mary's Magnificat in Luke's gospel. See how similar these words are to Ezekiel's. She sings, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. So this is God's promise. Promise to us today as it was then to the Hebrew people. Verse 23. And under this noble cedar that God will plant, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. Every kind of bird, winged creatures of every kind. That is all people, not just the Hebrew people, not only Christ followers. This is a God who protects all people, finding their home and their refuge in a land that belongs to God. And then this verse. All the trees of the field shall know that I am Lord. Now, Lord is a controversial title to use in times when rulers themselves were considered law, a Lord. And Ezekiel knew that. And Jesus and his followers knew that when they referred to Jesus as Lord, it would create a problem. And we know that experience when we understand the values of our Lord Jesus Christ to supersede the values of our leaders. Our Lord is the tree that all the other trees know to be Lord. It's the tree that houses birds of every kind. Can you imagine the comfort that those words must be to people who live in exile, ripped from their homes, foreigners in a strange land, experiencing a kind of exile as they wait to be returned to security? And then, can you imagine how faith takes on a new form once you're delivered from exile? Once prosperity returns and despair becomes a thing of the past, trees produce fruit, and then we develop a compassion so great that we can't help but to extend the love that we've been given to others and create branches of our own rooted in God. So faith, or trust in God, grows out of our experiences. That doesn't mean it's something that we do, but rather something that's cultivated because of what God has done for us and with us. And for Ezekiel, that was true during the worst of times. For the Apostle Paul that you heard, this was true despite every criticism and doubt that he received from community that he's helped to start. And we can all relate to criticism of religion. Criticism and judgment were creating splits within the community, and people were losing faith and walking away just as they do today, which is only one reason why these words of Paul's are timeless. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So that means we're no longer stuck in our human judgment. We're no longer stuck in our limitations and our old ways of thinking or trying to return to something that's no longer a reality, because the world has changed. Jesus made sure of that. If anyone is in Christ, and so to be in Christ is an entire way of life. To be rooted in Christ, Paul says in Colossians, again, to pull from tree imagery, rooted in Christ. So I rewrote the Merton quote. So listen to it as I rewrote it in direct relationship to Jesus Christ. A person gives glory to God by being a human being. For in being what God means us to be, we're obeying God. We consent to God's creative love. We are expressing faith, which is in God and Christ, never distinct from the essence of God, and therefore we imitate Christ by being the best human beings we can be. We praise God, and we consent to God's creative love. We consent because we're clear about who lords over us. Creative love never stops growing, spreading its arms to embrace and serve human beings of every kind. Creative love is never finished doing that. Everything has become new, and faith takes on a new creation. So trees are a holy part of this creation God's given us. I suppose that's why some people prefer hiking to church. How many times have I heard people tell me that Mount Tam is their church? Well, it's mine too. It's not enough for me. This is the place we come together in community to worship the one who created that beautiful mountain. This is the place we are reminded in community that we move beyond ourselves and into service through compassion for all people. This is the place we hear the ancient holy scripture of a universal experience rooted in God. This life and this world is so much bigger than our being. And at the same time, our very being's greatest purpose is to praise our life's source. To live a life in Christ is a constant reminder that Sunday is simply the best day of the week. You're about to hear an anthem, and I invite our musicians to come up. But I want to finish, tell you a little bit about this. It's not the one printed in your bulletin. We changed it. It's called Alleluia One More Time. Now, Alleluia, by definition, means praise God, God be praised. And so this is a song about that praise, but it's about faith that grows and takes on new forms in the midst of dark times. And it looks to nature as a confirmation of a God who is always with us. The birds of the air, they know this, and the trees of every kind, they express this in their very being. This is our call as people of faith. Amen.
See how the birds still sing when you're down. The moon still dances in the sky. See how tomorrow comes and turns you around to sing hallelujah one more time. And when you think that you have broken everything you can, crossed every line, see how you're still getting one more chance to sing hallelujah one more time. When this bridge doesn't seem quite long enough and the water's deep and wide and the fight you're in is just too rough to sing a hallelujah one more time.
Come down to the water. Come lay your head in mine. We'll laugh and cry and make a joyful sound
and sing hallelujah one more time. I'll be here later when you call, just to tell you that you're mine. to pick you up again when you fall and sing a hallelujah one more time. See how the colors are all there for you and how the music finds the rhyme. See how our wounds will be healing soon if we sing hallelujah one more time.
Come down to the water now. Come lay your hand in mine. We'll laugh and cry and make a joyful sound,
singing hallelujah one more time. See how the birds sing when you're down. Sun is dancing in the sky. See how tomorrow comes and turns you around to sing hallelujah one more time.
Come down. Down to the water now. Come lay your hand in mine. We'll laugh and sing and make a joyful sound
and sing hallelujah one more time. We'll laugh and sing and make a joyful sound and sing hallelujah.